Hi, my name is Con Koutsikas and this is A Cuppa with a Conversationalist, an entertaining, educational and informative program with a broad array of guests with unique perspectives and experiences. And for more information about my coaching and workshops, visit my website at www.conkoutsikas.com.
Good afternoon, Adelaide, and indeed the world. My name is Con, and I am the conversationalist. And this afternoon, I'm having an afternoon latte with the delightful Sophie Breitag. How are you, Sophie?
I'm so good. It's so great to be here. Thanks, Con.
Fantastic.
I've got my water, not a latte. I've had too much caffeine already. So
yeah, I was going to say, I'm sadly a caffeine junkie. Got to keep me going.
Yes, I agree.
Sophie is a heart-centered leader, first and foremost, and an experienced people, culture, and human resources leader with over 10 years in executive management positions. Sophie was also a finalist in the Leadership HQ National Women in Leadership Award in 2020. After more than 7 years in aged care, Sophie has recently taken the exciting leap and started her passion project, which is called Meta Leaders. Sophie is a kindness consultant and mindful mentor, and with this, a strong advocate for mentally health workplaces and bringing up our children to live mindfully and to be mentally healthy. Sophie regularly speaks on the topic of mental health in the workplace for both businesses and lived experience perspectives. How's that? Wow. Sophie, my first question to you is, after 10 plus years in the corporate sector, in the human resources area, what did you see, or what was the motivation for you to start Meta Leaders?
So I've worked in the aged care sector for just over 7 years of that 10 years in management and executive management positions. And with that sector and any care-related industry, really, comes the pressure of staff who are working shift work, people who are dealing with grief and loss regularly, people who may not be being paid a particularly high salary. And with that, then also trying to balance their own personal priorities, their families. They might be caregivers for their aging parents or friends or other family members. And increasingly, we started to see, and this happened before COVID. So I've been seeing this, I guess, increase over the last perhaps 3 to 4 years. Maybe it's really started to come to the forefront a lot more in businesses, and especially even talking to some of my colleagues in different industries. People are really struggling with that balance of how do we stay connected and well and healthy, and how can the place that I work for support me to maintain that while I'm at work. So I guess for me, I saw staff struggling, and then I thought to myself, I'm in a very privileged position of being in human resources, so I get to actually see from the people on the floor perspective, and I see from the executive management and board level as well. And I get to sit in that middle bit where I get to then create change and implement things that are going to make differences to people's lives. So it started with a wellbeing project. And I guess then it snowballed from there, where I just saw more people, really responding to just a little bit of extra kindness in the workplace, whether that was around flexibility or, you know, just really personalizing what people needed within the workplace and treating them as human beings and seeing what their needs were.
You describe yourself, or you describe your business, as a kindness consultant and mindful mentor. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about, I guess, strategies and or techniques that you would utilize to bring that into to bear.
So in the workplace, I structured my office quite strategically, which sounds a little bit strange, but my office was in a hallway so that people could have greater accessibility to me. So even if it was just for them to come and have a chat, to come and have a debrief, even if they needed a timeout just for a few minutes, they could come in and pop in and just have a chat. So I think from a business perspective, if you can incorporate people who are there for the staff to be able to have a chat to and to be accessible, you know, not at all times, because people can't be accessible at all times. It's just not, you know, it's not possible. But for people to know that there is a genuine open door policy where they can find someone to access should they need that. So that was part of the strategy. We had, you know, I think all businesses at this stage should have an employee assistance program. So we've had that available for, you know, the whole time that was working in the aged care sector. We had that assistance program for staff to be able to contact anonymously should they need that extra support. We had things within the workplace like a coffee machine where they were able to, you know, access free coffees on particular days. We would support the free coffees for them. Then we were providing extra on the job things, and sometimes it was just as little as saying good morning to people. And I feel like so many people overlook, they think the EAP and the, you know, the free coffees, and we did all of that, but at the end of the day, the thing that I found that was making the most difference was me getting out on the floor in the mornings and going for a walk around, you know, the workplace and actually genuinely connecting with people. And so if you know your people, then you're going to be able to better target what they need as an individual or as a collective, or, you know, is what we're doing making an impact, or are we just doing what we think is going to work? And it's, they just, you know, employees are like, well, you know, that's great, I get a free coffee, but, you know, at home, you know, I'm going through a separation, or, you know, at home, yeah, I'm homeschooling, or, you know, how can you personalize it? And it's that real connection. And I think that's what made them, you know, the biggest impact. Sure. Really.
Mm. I'm curious, what is there a specific market or business size that, I don't like to use the word target, but that you see that you're working with or are more open to these, we'll call them cultural changes?
Yeah. I think they can work across multiple size businesses, because it's not a cookie cutter, you know, one size fits all. Mm-hmm. You can go in and run a program and you're going to fix all the problems of the world, because that's just never going to happen. The businesses that would most benefit from this, I think, are, you know, especially with COVID happening, care-related industries, for sure. So your healthcare, aged care, disability, businesses that have got people who are caring for other people who are often exhausting themselves at work and then trying to balance that at home. But then in saying that, you could even have small businesses where you've got small business owners who are really struggling themselves to balance everything. And so they could maybe benefit from a little bit of one-on-one time with somebody who can give them some strategies and tools that they can then incorporate and bring in with their team. And they might not necessarily need an external person to do that once they've got the tools to then implement sort of within their workplace. So I think it's quite adaptive to whatever size, because it's people-related. Work.
Sure. I've written down here the question of ROI. Mm-hmm. And indeed, obviously, well, not only large businesses, but as a business owner and as business owners, we're always looking at what are we going to get for our investment? Yeah. You know, times are definitely challenging. Particularly if you're in the hospitality and travel sector.
Oh my gosh, it would be so tough. I can't even imagine. Honestly, my heart goes out to everybody who's in any industry where, you know, COVID has really stopped their business.
So if I'm looking as a business owner, I'm looking to implement certain strategies under your advice, whether it be the free coffees, whether it be whatever the case may be. If somebody says to you, well, okay, Sophie, that's fantastic and I love my staff and everything else, but what's my ROI? How do I measure? What am I getting in return? What's your response?
So you're getting more engagement from your employees, from your staff. You're going to get greater productivity out of your staff. You're going to get less sick leave. You're going to get less turnover. It was really interesting, actually. I was having a coffee with a business friend this morning and we were talking about working in companies and aligning your values with the company's values, and then the company selecting staff whose values align with the company's values. And I think it's really important that you know, return on investment is hugely important. But I think unless you've got that structure of a very clear understanding of the company's why, and making sure that that is then translated across the company towards all of the employees, and they understand why they're doing what they're doing, and they have an intrinsic connection to the why of the business, you can throw all the well-being things you want to at a, you know, and I'm not doing myself out of business here because this, this is a culture thing, you know, it's a culture thing. But when you've got people who are fully engaged with the business, you're going to get the then add-ons of having the kindness, the mindful mentoring, the coaching, all of that side of the business will come in and then dovetail off the central why of the business, because then you'll be able to use that as an add-on. So when you've got engaged employees, you're not going to have people taking their sick leave as much as they would normally, because they want to be on the job. They want to be working for you. When they feel like they are connected to the business and the people working within the business, they're going to stay longer. They're going to work harder. They're going to go above and beyond. When people feel respected, when people feel connected and they feel cared for, which is, you know, the reason my business has come about is to help leaders connect with their staff to then reduce the, you know, the financial constraints on the business, which come from the people side of things. So there is a definite, I mean, obviously I can't give you a dollar figure, but there is definitely a benefit from taking care of your staff and making sure that you understand who they are, what they're doing, that they understand why they're doing it, and that they want to be there and continue to do it effectively and productively.
The comment you made about staff turnover and keeping your staff longer, I mean, that's an extremely valid point. Again, I'm not going to quote any numbers, but I know there is significant cost involved in either removing an existing employee and then the rehiring or advertising to rehire, rehire, retrain. It's huge.
It's massive. And I think people often underestimate the value of an existing staff member, even if that staff member is not
100%
is not performing to where you need them to be. The cost is a lot less to try and coach them to reach where you need them to be than to move them on. You either, you know, if you make them redundant, if you don't need that position anymore, or you performance manage them out, or they decide to leave, or they're, you know, under engaged when they're in the workplace, all of that has a financial impact on your business. And then trying to recruit and onboard and then train the new person, and to be able to find a new person at the moment, I mean, there are so many people that are unable to find, you know, because the pool of talent due to COVID has reduced, because we've not got the people traveling between states, traveling overseas. So the pool is much less. And so people who are looking for jobs are being really, really picky about where, if they're thinking of moving, where they're going to move to, and does that place, do I feel connected to it? Do I feel valued? Do I really want to be doing the work that I'm going to be doing in this place? And if I don't, maybe I'll just sit and wait for a place that I find that I do more resonate with.
It's interesting. I've heard a number of times speaking to mates who are business owners and having staff issues and the like. And the question is, if somebody is that toxic and they're a detriment or a negative impact to your business, firstly in a dollar sense, but also from a cultural perspective, why don't you get rid of them? And the response is, it's easier to keep them.
Yeah. So that's like a dual
double-edged sword.
Yeah, because you've got that, you know, especially if you're a small business as well, because obviously there's a lot of pressure on small businesses to retain the people that they've already, you know, invested their time and energy and expense into to have to replace them. The only problem is if you do have somebody who's toxic within the workplace, you've got that cost of how much are they impacting the other employees that are remaining within your business, and are you actually getting productive work out of them? So that's where I guess you would get someone in like me, or you would get someone in to come in and do a culture check, I guess, on the company to see, because the reason, I mean, people don't set out to be nasty. Let's be honest. People don't come into a job. You're not going to get up in the morning and go, oh, today I'm going to be, you know, awful. I hate my job so much. I'm going to come in and I'm just going to cause havoc through the whole day. You know, people, that's just not human nature. I mean, yes, there are some people who are a bit not great, but that's the general population of people want to get up. They want to feel valued. They want to do a good job and enjoy what they're doing. So what I guess those businesses need to look at is, why is that person behaving that way? So it almost becomes like a human psychology thing of why, if this person is behaving in a way that's so inappropriate, that doesn't align with our values, firstly, has anyone mentioned it to them? Because people don't like having those difficult conversations. So has someone pulled them up in an appropriate manner and had that discussion? Maybe they don't know what their expectations are. Maybe they've just are doing a job that they've kind of gone, oh, well, here you go. Go and do that and you'll be fine. And then they actually don't know what the expectations are. So then they appear to be doing maybe not what's expected. So I think it's you genuinely do have some people who do come in and aren't great and aren't nice, and you do need to move those ones on, because they will be a cost to the business.
Very quickly move them on.
Yeah.
I just want to I was having an interesting conversation with a lady at a dinner party very recently, and no names will be mentioned, no organizations will be mentioned, because I can imagine the lawyers will be on my door very, very quickly. She operates out of a call center for this very large organization, and the stress levels are through the roof. They have 6 minutes and some seconds to spend on a call, and they have to take at least, again, I can't remember the number, 50, 60 calls a day. And every call is monitored, and they have certain boxes that they have to tick going through it. And if they don't, it's like you miss one and you just get a nice email, and you get two and it's like, we need to have a serious conversation, and you get three and it's like, it's been fun. See you later. Now, in an organization, and it's a very large one, and again, no names mentioned, is it like these cultural things that you speak about kindness and all those sorts of things in the workplace, is it a bit fanciful to think that you can have that kind of deep, respectful culture in a really, really large organization?
No. I don't think so. I think because it comes down to core values. So, you know, it depends what the business is focusing on. So if the business is all about stats, profits, money, they won't mind if they turn over their staff, because their priority is not their workforce. However, without the people, and it's what I have, you know, I've learned, I've worked, I actually, one of my first jobs was working in a call center. So I, when you were giving me that, I was thinking my way back to my first full-time job. And I'm like, I know that. I know that exactly. And it is tough, you know, it is tough. But those businesses are very focused on the profit.
It's churn and burn, isn't it?
It is, not on the people. And I'm probably being very generalist about it, but I don't think it's fanciful to think that you can still bring it back to the people and still have the managers on the floor who are managing those teams and leading those teams to live the values of kindness, connection, you know, support. Because even if you do have really tight stats that you have to stick to, if you know, yes, you might have had a really tough day. I mean, I know when I worked in the call center, calls would just drop in. So you'd have a headset on. And you would have calls randomly monitored. You would have how nice you'd been, how long your call was, did you resolve the problem, was the person happy, you know, all of that. And it's probably changed, it's been a long time. But if you have a manager who is supportive and who understands what you're going through, and you can go and have a chat to them at the end of your shift, because they're usually rostered, they're 24/7 call centers usually, I don't think it is too fanciful to think that that can actually be incorporated into the workplace culture on the floor, but it's about what is the business valuing.
Yes, and I know what this business is valuing. I'm biting my tongue.
Best to keep it inside.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said, I'm sure they would have their lawyers on my door in a heartbeat.
But we do it, you know, we do it one person at a time, you know, even if it's a ripple effect. So even if you, you know, that person who is obviously not overly happy with where they're working, they might then find another job somewhere else that does align, you know, with their values.
Sophie, again, obviously mental health in the workplace is, it's been a bit of a, well, not a bit, it's been a big tsunami over time, but it's really, I guess, almost come to a crescendo. It's culminated with COVID because of obviously all the issues that are presented, working from home, lockdowns, et cetera, et cetera. There are a number of employees now, again, you know, a lot of corporate employees and things like that, they may have the resources and, you know, people can work from home and that's all wonderful and great. What about, what can businesses, and I guess I'm talking smaller to medium type businesses that at the moment don't have financial resources, what can they do? Like, is there, I know it's not a quick fix, but what can they do to help their employees first of all? And I guess the other challenge is retaining employees over this period, because if they're not working, they're obviously going to look for work because they need the work.
Exactly. So
what can these employers do, not only for their employees' well-being and mental health, but also their own?
Really good question. As you said, it's not a quick fix, and it's not going to be a quick fix. And it is snowballing. I think the longer that people, especially in the eastern states, you know, you've got people who are stuck in their my heart's breaking. I've got family and friends in the eastern states, and I just think, you know, we're struggling here just with restrictions, and I can't even imagine what it's like to be, you know, in the house 24/7 with your children and family, and you know, all the dynamic that goes on there. There's a few things, and it might sound a bit, you know, esoteric and woo-woo, but we meditate daily. Now, with part of my mindful mentoring, it's around living mindfully in the moment. So it might be as small as when you get up in the morning, you touch base with your team, maybe by text message, to say, hey, just checking in on you, making sure you're okay. Let's have a meeting, you know, at the end of the week, and we'll touch base with you then. You've got people who are being retained with trying to work from home, so they're balancing everything. So I think flexibility and understanding that people are not going to be on 24/7 with the work, and kind of trying to give people a little bit more breathing space to get the work done, and trusting them that they're trying their best. I think trust is a huge thing, but then there's the balance of the business owner needs a particular job to be done to be able to get the income to be flowing in. So it's a dual thing of being able to trust your employees, but then the employee knowing that they're trusted to actually get the work done. So checking in with your staff, really important. I think connection, people are really struggling with the lack of connection. And it's even when you go into stores and you've got a mask on, you know, you've taken away connecting with the smile and being able, you know, people who have got hearing impairments, you know, might not be able to lip read anymore. So there's a whole nother layer there of connection. And I think if a business owner can keep that level of connection up, where their staff still feel valued, they still feel part of the team. And I'm not talking about Friday afternoon Zoom drinks. Great if you do it, but I'm talking about genuinely checking in with your teams and saying, I know you're having a tough time. I'm having a tough time too. What can we do to get this work done together in a timely manner? So I think really at the basis of it, it's about connecting to yourself firstly, and giving yourself as a business owner time to breathe, space to rest and not be on, because I know how difficult it could be when you're trying to manage multiple projects, multiple staff who are off-site and working remotely, to be able to feel like you're actually managing it all yourself as a business owner. And I know business owners would be burning out and really struggling. But meditation and mindfulness, so if you're just taking 5 minutes to do a short breathing exercise, I often will start the morning with a mindful affirmation meditation. My husband does the same thing. So he's a big macho police officer, does his morning meditation, does his bedtime meditation. We meditate with our kids. And when I say meditation, it doesn't have to be spiritual. I mean, we are, but, you know, it can be I'm doing – actually, someone taught me this really interesting – it's called square breathing. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so you breathe in for the count of four. Mm-hmm. You hold for four and you draw a square as you're doing it. Then you breathe out for four and then you hold for four. And then you do that about five or six times. And by the time you get to about the third square, and we do it with our kids as well. It's a really, really good method for calming kids down. Mm-hmm. But it works for adults too, trust me. May have done a bit of square breathing in my time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really gives you that moment of, you know, I'm taking a moment to breathe. Wow. And it gets your mind back in focus and not kind of running a million miles away. So, so that's been a really good thing for us. So just the simple thing of breathing, getting outside when you can, getting, you know, a bit of air, a bit of fresh air, a bit of sun on your skin if you're in a warm place, unlike us, although we do have a bit
of sun today. We're blessed at the moment, although I don't know where you are, but it's blowing a hurricane at my end of town, I can tell you.
No, we've had it. We're in Harndorf and it's just,
Okay. Say no more.
Yeah. So Sophie, I think, just the simple things.
Yeah. The next part of my question was not only obviously employees, but employers, but what employees can do. And I think you've kind of answered that already anyway. It's really about, having some time to yourself, just taking care of yourself. There are a lot of people under financial stress, not having worked and, and the like. So, yeah, definitely breathing, meditation and all those other strategies that you've mentioned. Sophie, before I push the big fat record button, we were having a bit of a chat off air, so to speak. And you mentioned there's a really exciting project coming up. Can you share with the listeners and viewers?
I can. So it's been a big few months of change for me, but starting my own business and then also collaborating with Synergy IQ, and they're an Adelaide-based leadership and cultural development business, and I'll be consulting for them, and that's starting in the next couple of months. And they focus on strategy, culture and change. So really excited. Michelle and Daniel are the directors of the business, and they're just great. They're all about the people. And really, when we talk about aligning yourself with the values of who you're working with and then having staff who align, when I saw them, I've known Michelle for about 8 years, and we've just sort of been business associates. But when the opportunity came up, I just grabbed it with both hands. So I'm so excited.
Yeah, congratulations. That sounds very exciting. And a gratuitous plug for Synergy IQ.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, they'll be happy.
That's all right. I'll send them the sponsorship bill.
Yeah, that's fine.
and also, before we wind up, you got a piece of really exciting news this morning as well. It's been a big day.
It has been a big day. Yes, I've just been, and it's just been announced today that I'm one of the top 10 finalists in the Raw Awards, which are national awards, and mine's in the leadership category. So the winners are announced in September, later in September, which will be virtually. It was meant to be an event, obviously, with COVID, but, we all just roll with, with the new normal.
That's it.
So I'm very blessed to be in a category with some amazing leaders. So, so I feel very, very, very pumped today, Con.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very, very exciting. Sophie, we could chat for hours, but we won't. it's been an absolute pleasure having you. Delight to talk with you, as always. Your energy and enthusiasm is indeed very, very catchy.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Con. I am the conversationalist, and we've been chatting with Sophie Breitag today. Have a lovely day, and until next time, bye for now.
Thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of A Cuppa with a Conversationalist. To join in next time, follow or subscribe. And for more information about my coaching and workshops, visit my website at www.conkutsikas.com.